listener production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today. We are two guys, one
cup. It is Monday, April the 22nd. Everyone relax. This is Two Guys, One Cup. Oh, no. An AFL-adjacent podcast. My name is Will Anderson. I thought for a second I was doing okay. Hello, co-host, whose name is?
Charlie Clawson. And Will, you sound a little croaky. I'm assuming that's because you've just been watching Harley Reid highlights on repeat and just cheering for football's saviour.
Yeah, that's right. You know that's my kink. I sound a bit tired and croaky because I like to go tighten a West Coast star scarf around my neck and then watch videos of Harley Reid while I touch myself. I you know, I'm the Robbo of this organization today, Charlie.
Yeah.
You are the Jared and I'm the Robbo because, as you know, it was the last night of the comedy festival last night and I only – went home from the after party of the comedy festival 4 or 5 hours ago. So we are recording this on a Monday morning, but I will be relying on your Jared Waitley style investigation of the round of football to guide me through Robbo style.
Who parties harder, you reckon, comedians or footballers?
Oh, I mean, fair to say that if the comedians needed to rock up for next weekend's rounds, there might be a few people out with
hamstring
tight hamstrings.
Well, let's give the people what they want. A lot of discussion leading into round six about the Two Guys, One Cup, which I believe I've been in possession of all year. I now hand it back to you, having watched probably – I think I watched a quarter and a half of the game. I was like, this is enough. I've seen enough. I don't need to see any more. It was incredibly reminiscent. There was a game about, I think it was 3 years ago, where the Bulldogs beat the Saints by like 100 points. It was an insane kind of thrashing. I can't remember if it was Brett Ratton or the Richo era, but it was a kind of performance I had thought we'd seen the last of since Ross Lyon had come across. You know, I think the statistic was something like we've lost by a combined total of, I don't know, 13 points this year, and we've only been beaten by more than 30 points once since Ross has been back. But that was as limp a performance as I can remember.
Well, it's bad for the Saints. The lack of enthusiasm for this Two Guys, One Cup from both of us has been... Like, neither of us have our heart in it.
No.
Because I don't even have my heart in it to claim any sort of victory because I don't – everyone seems to be like, oh, Bevo's got him back. You know, everything's okay at the Bulldogs again. And I'm like, I'm not sure that – I think anyone might have beaten St Kilda on Thursday night.
I mean, it is funny too because, like, I saw, you know, Ross Lyon and a couple other, like, Saints players and stuff talk about, look, we don't want to make excuses. But I reckon they should because I reckon the excuses are pretty good. Like I reckon two interstate games, like 3 games in 11 days, two interstate, like that's some pretty good excuses. They looked tired. And the fourth, you know, when a very young list as well. I mean, that's from what I could tell was they just looked cooked. Like it looked like the kind of performance a team puts in like round 18 when they're just like all the young players are just like they're tiring and stuff. But there was no chase. There was no pressure. It was a complete training drill. And then by contrast, the Bulldogs fired up, had a week of getting smashed in the media. Like when Cody Waitman kicked that, did you see that goal he kicked in the first quarter where he just roved beautifully off the pack and bounced it through? I'm like, oh, man. You just get a feeling in some games when you see the opposition do something like that where you're like, they're on, we're not. This is a foregone conclusion. I don't need to sit through the rest of this.
I mean, I think also with the Bulldogs, it very much seems like that at the moment. The Bulldogs are either on or off.
Yeah.
And so you also get a very good like sense of, oh, okay, the Bulldogs have actually come to do this today as opposed to some weeks where they just – like it feels like the Bulldogs need to jump teams at the moment to be competitive for the rest of the game. They just need to get the good vibes going early.
And what do you reckon about like – so you're the one saying, hey, let's try Aaron Norton back, but kick six goals. Do you think that's just a sugar hit or you still want him to go back?
Oh, this is another thing that bothers me about this game because everyone thinks everything's okay at the Bulldogs. But, like, everyone, no one's mentioning the fact that Jamara didn't play. So the pre-existing problems with the forward line and how it operates together, this isn't a salve or a solution. No one was saying that Norton can't play like full forward. No one was saying that he can't kick six goals. We were suggesting that with Jamara in the team that maybe that wasn't the best use of him because they tend to fly together and negate each other. So I still think in a way it almost exposed what the problem is more than it felt like a solve to the problem to me. And the Bulldogs social media were very gloaty around, you said he should be playing back. And I'm like, well, yeah, but where's Jamara going to play when Jamara comes back? Yeah. This isn't a solution to me. That's like saying, you know, everybody likes Richie Sambora's songs if John Bon Jovi there isn't there to sing. But if John's there, like Richie has to go back to playing guitar.
Jack Steele was interviewed after the game and I think he identified what was going on pretty well.
But yeah, we didn't play our way again. There's definitely a few things we need to get right with our offence and defence, and even around the ball at times, our contest and stoppage stuff wasn't up to scratch.
So as long as we can fix our forward line, yeah, our defence and our midfield, yeah, we should be okay.
Yeah, your offence, your defence and your midfield. Apart from that, everything's gone great at the club. Did you see how the Kane Corns article about how Bevo shouldn't be coach of the Bulldogs came out? I think it came out online before the game, but they printed it in The Age like the morning after the Bulldogs had won the – if you're The Age, like what are you thinking about that, getting Kane to write an article about one of the coaches and how they shouldn't be coaching the night before the game so that it's going to run the next morning regardless of what the result of the game is?
Well, I know how he answered that because Kingy put the exact same question to him. Is like, you know, you said this about Luke Beveridge, do you still believe that? And he doubled down. He said, yes, this just proves my point.
Yes, of because course they he should did. Be, That's
they
what he
the
does.
Best list.
He's one of the great double downers.
Kane double down Corns. You're right. He's the great double downer. Like if he was like a cowboy or something, he'd be, you know, they'd write a song about him at the double downer. He's been around. He's the double downer. but he said that, you know, that this just proves his point that Bevo has an amazing list. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but you took on a team that was exhausted and playing terrible football. Like, I think there's been overreactions in both ways. Like, a lot of Saints fans are like, we're terrible, rebuild, toss them out. And I'm like, everyone just chill. I'm sticking by my round 10 rule. Like, I'm going to make a proper assessment in round 10. Everyone's freaking out. Everyone's on West Coast at the moment. West Coast are back. West Coast are having a little bump here. They'll fall off again. Everyone just needs to relax. I don't know why it's take. What's the motto of our show, right? Everyone relax. But I honestly believe, like, footy media is hysterical. Like, they just jumped so early either direction on teams and coaches and players. Let's just wait. I agree there's certain kind of things you can be assured of, which is like Geelong seemed to be very consistent and doing well. Carlton seemed to be very impressive. Okay, all that kind of stuff. But all these other little things about, like, the Saints have made a huge mistake getting Ross Lyon back. Just relax, okay? Everyone just relax a little bit.
Well, I think that this is led by not just Kane himself, but the Kane approach, which is exactly as you have identified, which is when in doubt, double down. And the other thing I've really noticed about Kane, and this is how you find your Kane-style angles, is you just hold every team to the standard that they should be competing for the premiership. And then when they're not, demand like answers for why they're not the premiership team. And then in any case where there's information that contradicts your argument, double down and say it proves your point. That's my other favorite thing. Well, that's actually what proves my point.
It's a flawless strategy. Do you reckon that the Adelaide Crows, so they've had two kind of heartbreaking losses at their home ground that may or may have been decided by, well, one we know was definitely umpire error. The other one was kind of a line ball decision. But do you think there is karma at play here? Do you think that preseason camp like has cursed the club? Because I feel like there is something cosmic going on. They had a little bit of momentum after beating the Blues last week. They could have won this game. Then there's that very sort of 50-50 line ball. I think you can trace it directly back to that preseason camp and the bad mojo that was created around it.
I mean, didn't they have – was there not some sort of like healing ceremony or something about the camp?
Did they do
didn't
that?
Did they do like –
they did an apology. I know that.
Yeah.
They did a healing ceremony?
Well, I don't know if – It was a healing ceremony, but like...
Oh, is it healing as in H-double-E-L, as in wrestling heel? It was like, let's get Kane in. We're going to double down on everything we did wrong in the preseason game.
I mean, that would be amazing. So what is the... Like, if you were going to put some closure to it, if they haven't done that, if there hasn't been closure, then... Like, how would you get it? Like, how do you, if this is what is still karmically cursing them, what is it that you do? Like, in, like, I mean, because the camp was about what they sort of, the team bonding stuff they made them do at the camp. Is there some way of like
reversing it?
Reversing, like, you know, I guess, is it Lost style? You know, in the final seasons of Lost, they'd got off the island, but then there was this like narrative that they all had to go back to the island because things were going badly and they all had to be reunited on the island. Is there some sort of, do they need to get the original squad back together, take them all out to the camp and like,
what did they do? So there's like they went through, like, didn't they go through players like personal history and stuff like that and bring up shit from their past? And then you're scared of this because this happened to you when you're 17 or something like that. So what's the reverse of that? It's either the kind of retribution angle would be you take the coaching staff and the collective minds guys and you put them through the same experience. But that seems to be creating more negativity, and I don't know if that is healing. But then the flip side of it would be to go through and highlight nice things. Like, there's a new form of kind of mindfulness therapy, which is like, rather than sort of focusing on, like, you know, identifying trauma and building identities around that, or like building bridges from trauma, you identify where people thrive, like the good things in their lives, like the things that make them great. So Eddie Betts was obviously, like, you know, one of the players targeted by Collective Minds. Rather than bringing up some bad stuff from his past, why don't they just go to the camp and we just play Eddie highlights? It's just a day of goal of the year contenders, Eddie celebrating with the crowd, just like a montage of him being one of the most beloved figures in the AFL.
Well, maybe instead of collective minds, they get collective sounds. And they just kind of like turn it into more like a bush doof. Like, you know.
I mean, yes, I think that's right. Like, you know, and like psilocybin apparently is great for therapy.
Yeah. Oh, it's a healing, ayahuasca style healing. Yeah.
Everyone's got
ceremony.
Hamstring awareness the week after.
They have hamstring awareness weekend by round. They all go back to the camp. They get collective sounds into DJ. They run some Eddie highlights. The highlights of the players on the big screens while they all do mushrooms and ayahuasca in a healing ceremony. I mean, this is actually not
I think
bad.
It's the only way to get past it. Like, honestly, I mean, talk about like overreactions, but people have written them off. I think Kane said their season's done. It's over. They've won one game. They can't win. I don't believe that. I think last week showed that they could play pretty well. But there's another team that I am done with. I was on them for a week and now I'm off them again. That's Port Adelaide. Remember last week I was like, oh, I think I've underestimated Port Adelaide. I think they're quite good. Nah, I'm off them again. No good.
I mean, they didn't look as good, did they? But I think they came up against a pretty good opposition in pretty good form as well.
It's funny, I got a text from Dave Anthony, for listeners of the show who don't know Dave Anthony. He's an American comedian who is a good friend of ours but has taken on the Giants as his team. But I think he's getting into just more AFL games because he's watching that Pies Port game. And he was baffled by a few things. One is like he could not understand how Port could be 31 points up and then give up that lead. Like, he asked me to explain how Collingwood were able to get back in the game, which I did my best, you know, contested ball, I think, forward entries. There's only so long before the damn wall breaks and you've got 16 more forward 50 entries. But then he said his son, Finn, was incredibly confused by the game and walked out saying, there's too much going on.
I mean, there is a lot going on.
Like, it's incredibly hard to understand, I think, if you are watching this game from a completely fresh perspective. Like, just the number of players who are on the ground. How could you even, like, especially the way the ground's covered, you know, you've got the different angles. It would be hard to know how many players are on the field at any one time. It would just be like a fast comedy where you just got doors opening and new people entering all the time. Like, how many fucking people are on this ground?
AFL football is like a Robert Altman movie.
Just an ensemble. You know,
It's just a real series of vignettes that are loosely tied together by an ensemble.
How do you feel about the Pies being back?
Yeah. I never thought they were, really had gone away.
Like, so. I imagine they started the year like you've started today, just feeling a bit dusty. Big celebration.
Yeah, just let's just warm into it, you know. Yeah, exactly. That's right. So there's probably a few people who listen to this podcast, Charlie, and they'll say maybe I celebrated the comedy festival too hard and that the first episode back wasn't up to our usual standards and it was the after effects of me still thinking about the comedy festival and not coming into this podcast fresh.
So you're a port booster. So give me a reason why they can win the flag this year.
Their midfield is the reason they can win the flag this year. Jason Hines-Francis, Connor Rosie and Zach Butters. Willem Drew as well I think is pretty great. And then like that sort of extended. But I do think, like you, I think that their problems are not their midfield. Mm. Them getting the ball and them distributing the ball isn't the Port Adelaide problem. They've got some other issues, I think, to compete with the really, really good
teams. A little bit of sizzle too for the end of the show. You know, we heard from our Western Australian listeners. Well, one in particular, Scotty, who named Port Adelaide as the most loathed team in WA,
yes.
Had a lot of responses. I don't think we'll be able to get through all the mail today, but I have cherry-picked a few that we could get to. And there are some people who agree and some reasons why Port Adelaide might be the most hated team, but we'll leave that for the end of the show. Let's talk about the Giants and the Blues. I was very excited for this game, really looking forward to it. And then bloody hell, man. Like I know Carlton are good, but I guess I'm trying to hold off on admitting it. Like they were awesome in that third quarter.
It's very hard to hold off on admitting it now because they just beat the team that we mostly were thinking were the best team in the competition. And so I saw Adam Rosenbarks, our good friend Adam Rosenbarks from the Junk Time AFL podcast, straight after that game. And, Charlie.
Ba-dum-ba-dum.
everything we've said about this quiet,
lid.
Not
nailing that lid on.
The lid is nailed on the Carlton fans in a way that I have not seen anything like it before.
Yeah.
It's like they've collectively – Did Vossi get to them all? Has there been
you think there's a letter? That's a letter from Vossi to all members?
Just really feels like sometime over the off season, suddenly everyone who barracks for Carlton was just at their house and their phone rang or their door knocked and it was Vossi. And he just went, we're going to be good this year and I need you to shut the fuck up
Carlton, the power brokers at Carlton, maybe they reached out to their old Carlton crew contacts and said, we need you to knock on some doors.
we're sending you a membership. We're sending you a membership list.
You got a nice membership package here. It'd be a shame if anything happened to it.
Yeah, I noticed you like supporting the team very loudly. And very – well, we can't be having that. You've got a lot of nice cult memorabilia that be a real pity if anything happened to
it. Yeah, the team just got a new sponsorship with Puma for some new football boots, but it'd be a shame to make you some concrete boots. Just keep your mouth shut. Yeah, it's uncharacteristic. And, we are, barracking for some kind of disaster to happen, but I honestly look at that now that De Koning – has just sort of fulfilled his potential, it seems like, everyone talks about that, they tried it with Brody Grundy, that ruckman come forward, Luke Jackson, but he seems to be actually able to do it, play both positions quite effectively. So it's like you've got two of the best forwards, tall forwards going around, and then you've got a guy who can pinch hit, replace one of those two tall forwards. It is a frightening prospect.
Oh, I mean, just the fact that their forward line seems to be operating so well. And then, Cripps and
Walsh. Oh, my God. Isn't he a freak? Like, what a freak off one game. He's played one game this year and then just like, could have been a career ending, back surgery. And he's just come back. It's like, oh, no, I'm easily the best player in the game.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm fine. I'm really good, actually.
Made my back better.
And this is not even their full complement of players. Like they don't have Saad, they don't have McGovern.
They've got a bunch of injuries. Like they're actually having a little tough run with not having their best players involved, but it isn't slowing them down.
So maybe it's up to us as jealous.
Two guys won't.
Yeah, jealous small Victorian team supporters. Yeah. If we can somehow trigger a wave of kind of that arrogance out of our Carlton supporting mates, maybe
we need to tease it out. Yeah, we need to. Yeah,
like how do we get it out of them though? Do we? Because they're so used to being denigrated, they've had 20 years of being mocked. I don't think you can provoke them like that. I think it's got to be. We've got to approach them like they're our friends. We think Carlton are amazing.
Well, yeah, we need to be the people talking about how good Carlton is to them directly in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable about it. You're like, gee, they're going well this year. You know, like they're probably premiership favourites. Vossi's got them flying. Look at your midfield. Mackay's kicking beautifully. Like you're unstoppable. Like really, like talk them up to a level that – you know, what Carlton used to talk themselves up to.
You're so right. Like one of my footy chats, which is dominated by Carlton supporters, has been dormant for 3 weeks. Like there hasn't been anyone commenting for the last 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird. More than, maybe they've started a separate chat and excluded me. I think that's maybe what's going on.
Well, I think, again, this might be the strategy. Yeah. Everyone's gone to your site. You get out of your regular footy chat groups. Yeah. We'll go into a little silent one that nobody knows about. We've got
80,000 members of a chat, of a WhatsApp chat.
We've got to find the secret chat where the 80,000 Carlton fans are actually gloating, and we've got to WikiLeaks it. We've got to leak. We've got to find where they're actually gloating, and we've got to get it out into the
Step
public.
One, free Julian Assange. Step two, find this Carlton chat.
Get him to find this Carlton WhatsApp group
and leak it. What about Toby? 1 week for that hit. I was surprised. I was texting Alex Williams thinking he's going to get 4 weeks because it looked very similar to the Peter Wright. Is he, and also with his record as well, but then to get 1 week, I guess because the ball hit him first or the ball hit them at the same time. It wasn't like he hit the player before the ball arrived. Or is a little bit of AFL protection for their, their project team?
Well, there used to be the Toby tax, which was he went the other way. I feel like this is more like a Toby tax return. Like in the past, he's paid
first time
too
ever.
Much tax. And they're like, you know what? You actually probably deserve a little back the other way. So we're going to – turns out you've had a good year and you're getting a little bit back from the government.
You know he's having a bad year. It's the Brisbane Lions. What the hell is going on up there? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, I understand coming, like the Bulldogs did that, right? So 21 grand final, 22, you had a bit of a lackluster. Did you make finals that year? You did, but slow start to the year.
Yeah.
But they just don't look any good at home, which is so strange. And conversely, Geelong look really good. It's almost boring to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, they do seem very good.
Yeah, and this new—they've regenerated their midfield on the run. It's fucking bullshit.
Again, I always think when you talk about the regenerated Geelong midfield, they regenerate in the way that Doctor Who regenerates these days, which is that you bring in the new Doctor, but you do a couple of episodes with some classic Doctors, so nobody, everyone's like, no, it's good. We get to see Matt Smith or David Tennant and this new guy. And it's the same with the Geelong midfield. You're like, there's still a few.
Yeah, you get your Tanner Bruins and your Parfords. Here's Danger. Yeah. He'll pop in for a cameo with his long, stripy scarf.
Just so you don't panic about these new ones that you don't know, here's a classic one that you can rely on and trust.
It's just weird, too, that, you would, this is anecdotal, of course, but, seeing the way that Joe Danaher was working out at my gym in the preseason, I was convinced. I was like, look at him. He's a man on a mission. Yeah. He's so scarred by that grand final loss. But it's all between the years, right? It's just all going to be mental. They've got the same list. They don't have Ashcroft. Maybe that's a bigger loss than we realize. But I don't know. They made a grand final without Ashcroft.
Yeah.
It's got to be mental, and if that's the case, then what does Fags do? Fags has never really struck me as kind of like a guy who play, Bevo, who's like a master of psychology and, bringing up kind of obscure philosophers and quotes and stuff to kind of, get his players to think about the game a bit differently. Like, is it time for Fags to sort of try something radical, some kind of psychological trick or something to get the team up?
What could that be though? Like, what is the like what realm or area? I mean, because yes, don't get me wrong, I'm bang up for him like making some bold gesture or doing something completely weird. So I'm in the idea, but what is the actual idea, do you think?
Well, what would it be? So the team is lackluster. Their home, the Gabatoir has become a petting zoo. So maybe the players turn up to training and there's a bunch of baby farm animals. Like they can't get onto the ground because there's like an actual petting zoo set up there.
Right.
And Fags walks out and he says, "Oh, you're annoyed because you can't train because the Gabba is a petting zoo? Well, you turned into a petting zoo before these animals actually got here. You're the ones who are the animals who are to be petted."
And then he grabs a lamb and he slaughters it in front of them.
He tries to, but he's too weak.
Yeah, that's right. Tries to wring its neck.
He just can't. Oh, jeez. Oh, no. Joe, can you come over here and kill this thing? Dane, come over here. Can you throttle this for me? I really don't want to, Fags. Come on. Come here. You are the animals of the petting zoo. This chicken. This chicken's tapping at my leg. That's my bad one. I could see that working. Motivate me. We are two guys, one car. What else? What other games were there? North versus the Hawks. Okay, so I've got an idea. This game, I don't want to talk about what do we do about North every week. So let's just talk about something else that we can all get behind, which is the score review. It seemed to irritate most people watching this game how many score reviews they were.
Yeah.
So I've got an idea about what we do. How about at the start of the game when they do the coin toss, the captain who wins the coin toss can choose to make it either a score review game or a score review free game. So make it a tactical thing. So that way, like, you may be more inclined, if you're a Bulldogs or a Collingwood high octane, you know, blaze away kind of team, then you probably want to go no score review because there's going to be a lot more questionable, you know, you're kicking around the corner and you're blasting it, Norton's blasting it from 60 and all that kind of stuff. Or if you're a team like the Saints who play a more defensive game, maybe you want a score review, you want to slow things down, you don't want teams to get on a roll. What do you reckon?
So,
or another option, danger money for umpires. If you're an umpire, you choose not to use a score review, you get a bump in pay each time you don't choose a review. If you're just going to back your own judgment and you're immune from criticism. Like, you can't be held accountable for, like, what happened in Adelaide last year.
I like your attitude, which is this thing's a little bit confusing, so let's make it more confusing. I'm always I'm always behind that, as the solution is to make it more confusing. Let's make it even less reliable than it already is. I'm up for it. I like the idea of – so in comedy and theatre, it is accepted that on preview nights, reviewers won't come to the show, right? Yeah. No reviews on preview nights, but there might be a specific night, opening night or whatever, where, you know, it might be the night that the reviewers come in. So I like the idea of being able to have a certain amount of games per season that aren't for review, like, you know, goal review, any sort of review. You can actually just say no reviews in this game. We don't want goal reviews after the game. We don't want you to do a review of the game. This is just our review-free round. can have it against a team that you think you're going to do really badly. You know, you're going to say, can't review anything that we've done this
week. Yeah, okay. So are you saying make it like a tactical thing that the captain can choose at the start of the game, or do we alternate rounds? This is a review round. This is a non-review round. Or
maybe we just
feature it like we – you know, because the AFL loves doing like a feature month. So why don't we do no review? There's no months beginning with R, so my alliterations are going to work. But reviewless, no review June. That's the best I could come up with. We'll send it to the marketing team. We'll get a catchier phrase, but just a whole month no reviews.
Well, okay. I'm going to like say something that is against the spirit of Two Guys, One Cup because this is my serious opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think that reviews have made the game better in any way. I think that I would love, and maybe we can't, maybe it's just impossible to go back to a time when, but I would fully endorse if the AFL came out and said, we don't think that we have gained as much from reviews as we've lost from the process of doing reviews. And we think the spirit of this game is actually, we'd rather as an organisation, you know what, occasionally the umpires are going to get one wrong, but we think even with the review system, we don't have the technology to always get it right. And so I don't think we've solved a problem. We've created a new problem. Let's just go back to the spirit of trusting the umpires, and occasionally they're going to get one wrong, but we believe that in the wash it all sort of works out.
Yeah.
And I think that is actually the best position. I think all this other stuff about, you know, how we fix the reviews or chips in balls or blah, 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 it's all us spending all this time and all this money to try to come up with a perfect system for something that is never going to be perfect. And I would love if we just
went back. We just nuked it. Just nuked all technology. We've got Luddite with it. And we bring back the white overcoats and the white hats.
I mean, you know what? Let's go right back.
Yeah.
Let's let them make their own decisions, and they're in butcher's jackets.
It was Brody Grundy's 200th on the weekend.
Yes.
Suns put in a – I was worried about, like, whether the Saints would cop all the acid this week because of our disappointing loss, but I think the Suns and Frio took a bit of heat off us with some lackluster efforts as well. But Adam Spencer sent us something during the week. We talked about doing a footy, the 2-1 guys. The two,
the 2-1 guys.
You think I'd been out all night last night? The two guys won Cup Oscars. Check out this acting performance, and we're gonna talk it through. This is from the Swans socials. It's hard to describe, but it is a short film starring Brody Grundy in the lead up to his 200th game, in which he plays all roles. Yeah, here we go. Okay. So, wacky music to begin with. What we see is three elderly gentlemen and then an enormous Swans ruckman wearing a grey wig and a walking stick pretending to be an old man walking outside the MCG, the SCG,
Yeah, it already feels a little like, is this politically correct?
All right, let's continue.
Ticket, please.
Okay, so then we cut to Brody Grundy playing the ticket seller, and he's got a very Timothy Chalamet kind of haircut, and he, for some reason, goes like, tickets, please. Like he's some kind of like waifish.
But it's also like Keanu Reeves trying to play a Shakespearean character or like, and it's got some real, this has got some real Tommy Wiseau, The Room energy, this entire thing.
He scans his ticket. Shuffles through. Looking around the SCG.
This way, if you will, sir. Follow me.
Okay, so Brody's now playing an attendant who's saying, this way, sir, follow me if you will. And he's doing kind of like a faux British accent. So we've got three characters so far.
He's already bashed out a bunch of accents and a bunch of characters.
He's shuffling up to
Brody! 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 Brody!
Okay, so, I mean, if you're not watching it, it's hard to what just happened there? But that was then Brody.
And if you are watching it, it's hard to tell what just happened there.
Brody is now playing like a teenage fan or maybe even like a 10-year-old fan or a, you know, developmentally challenged fan.
Yeah, I know. It comes across a bit like someone who's just a little bit too into footy, but I think he's meant to be a kid.
He's meant to be a kid. He's wearing his Swans gear and he's waving at Brody. So, okay, so the joke is starting to take shape. Brody is playing his 200, so he's an old man. Okay.
Oh, I see.
Okay, so this is like maybe the younger players of the team refer to him as the old man, and so that's
yeah.
And so old man Brody walks past the young Brody and growls at him as if he's like some kind of elderly curmudgeon.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Sorry, okay.
No, that's fine.
Go on. Okay, it's fine.
And now he's in the bar.
What can I get you? Lager, please.
Okay, so Brody the barman, he's done, that's the fourth accent I think we've discovered. He's done an Aussie, what can I get you? And the old man speaks for the first time, lager, please, because that's what old men drink.
Lager.
Apparently, not a sherry, not a port, lager.
Ticket,
You know it's Brodie Graney's 200th today, right?
What's so good about that?
Well, it's a great achievement.
Okay. Don't know what the fuck is happening. So they have their little discussion about Brody's drone. Now we've cut to Brody as the old man standing in the stands applauding no one? Like, what is going on? What is the point of this, Will? I'm so confused.
I don't know.
We'll continue.
Well done, young man.
Okay, but he's saying, well done, young man. But is this not Brody? When he walked in, the young fan said, Brody, Brody, and the old man ignored him. But now the old man is in the stands saying, well done, young. But is this not Brody?
You're right. Like, there's a couple of flaws in the narrative here. Are we watching an old man who's watching Brody who doesn't know that it's Brody Grundy's 200th and needs to be informed while he's buying a lager? Or is the old man Brody Grundy? Is this a time travel piece?
Oh, might be.
Is it the idea that this is Brody from the future who has traveled back to watch Brody play his 200th game? And the young boy recognizes that it's Brody because he can see through, whereas like Brody's like an old man, you know, he's
it's like a looper situation.
Yes. Right, okay. Maybe he's come back to kill Brody Grundy.
Hopefully. Oh, but it was all a dream.
Brody, what are you doing? It's your 200th game. Come on, let's go.
Okay, so that was Horse coming in to say, Brody, it's just a dream. Now, what I want to know is where the fuck is Brody sleeping? It seems to be like a warehouse cupboard.
Also, how did... like Horse, who's just in this sketch, opened the door, know what Brody was dreaming about. Like, narratively, that doesn't make sense.
So Brody's...
Good morning.
Okay, this is now this is my favourite bit. Okay, so that's the short film is over. And now, like you often... And you used to see in, like, you know, Cannonball Run movies, they show you, like, a bit of B-roll stuff of, like, you know, some outtakes. So just listen to this. They're obviously filming the start of this... outside the SCG with these three old blokes.
Yeah.
Listen to Silver Tongue Brody Grundy explain what they're doing and ask if the guys want to join in.
Hey. My name's Brody.
Ralph.
Jeff. Hey, Jeff. We're actually doing a piece of a film. Do you guys want to be in it?
Yeah.
We're just going to walk 5 metres just this way from the Sydney Swans.
I'm a Bradman fan.
Okay, so just worth it. One of the old men said, I'm a Bradman fan.
Bradman
fan. Clearly, you know, no idea.
Sir Donald Bradman, who played for the Sydney Swans.
Yeah, you been into the SCG before?
Oh, saw
Bradman.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing a tour.
Yeah.
All right.
You're doing a tour. All right. Good stuff.
I like Bradman. I saw Bradman here. How good's Bradman? All right, mate.
All right, he's up. Now, I said before we got some mail from some more Western Australian listeners. Do anything we need to say about the Frio, the Derby Derby, the Frio West Coast game? Like, besides how amazing Harley Reid is, like I honestly feel like. I can't remember a time when a player has lived up to the hype, like a first-round draft pick, quite like this. This is like NBA levels of, like, remember when Blake Griffin kind of started at the Clippers and everyone got, like, super excited and he seemed to be as good as everyone said he was and he won, like, the slam dunk competition? It's like maybe Nathan Buckley. Nathan Buckley was super hyped and I remember when he started playing, it's like, oh, wow, this kid's really good. But, man, this kid is really good.
It's funny because the first few games, it did seem like he was taking a little while to sort of get into the swing of it. He was doing fine, but you were like, oh, is all the hype going to be, you know, all those articles, you know, all the, like, that hype around him being just such a, you know, superior player even to the second and third players on that list. And you're like, oh, well, that just seems like maybe that's hyperbole and it's going to be too much for him to live up to. But, oh, boy, there's – some things that he does on the football field that make, like, suddenly you're interested in watching West Coast. It's so that they have been impossible to enjoy watching West Coast play for a couple of years. Like, it's the amount of times I've tried to turn on a West Coast game and there's just, you're like, there's nothing here for me to be interested in. And then suddenly this one kid from the country has rolled into town and he does make them a more interesting
team. Oh, my God.
He does make them more exciting. And, you know, all the other players seem to play better because this kid is in playing at their
team. Not only do they play better, but they seem to be enjoying the show as much as anyone. Like, you look at that second hanger he took. Like, look at the reaction of the players around him. Like, Jack Darling is laughing, like laughing. It's just what a freak this kid is. And it's like, I feel like you can build a team around a player like that because, you're going to get West Coast fans coming rain, hail or shine. But it's just the excitement that he builds. And then everyone sort of lifts to his level. It's just how you keep him grounded. Like, you know, West Coast don't have a great record when it comes to, having a player have a balanced lifestyle. So it's like, how do you just make sure that this kid has all the resources and support to help him cope with what will be an intense amount of scrutiny?
I mean, he could be the most, unambiguously supported footballer in the country. Because if he's playing well and he brings West Coast back to some success, that entire state basically will just get behind him. And so we know what Western Australia is like. If one of their own is seen to be the best, they will unanimously, circle the wagons behind them and support them.
Yeah.
Often to their detriment.
I was going to say. and bury some bodies if
and
need be.
And cover up for them. keep their excuses. Names out of the papers.
Pay off police.
Never let them learn for the consequences of their actions.
So Scotty last week made some bold assertions. Had a lot of mail. Can't get to all of them. I'm going to read. Yeah. This is from David. He wants to talk about the Eagles and Docker rivalry. Hi, Charlie and Will. Just following up on your emails regarding the Eagles and Dockers rivalry. And with the greatest of respect, Scotty does not speak for all Eagles fans. His top five makes no sense and perhaps reflects his age. As an Eagles supporter since 87, I was a Hawks supporter before the Eagles came into the comp. There was a deep vein of anti-Victorian prejudice that runs through all of us. It's irrational and it's unreasonable. It's also a bit embarrassing, reflecting as it does the broad inferiority complex us Western Australians have. It's matched only by the inferiority complex of Queenslanders of a certain age who still maintain that Stuart Law is a better cricketer than Steve Waugh.
Mm, right.
Good reference. This inferiority complex manifests itself in how we think about the Dockers, because deep down we want any Western Australian team to beat those wise men from the East. But the Dockers' continued failure is a constant and deep-seated disappointment to us. Like, how condescending does that get? Like, that to me sums up everything I imagine West Coast supporters to be. Like, it's not even like a hatred. It's just like, you are a disappointment, Fremantle. You're a disappointment to us. You've let down the proud name of Western Australia. They are letting this side down. They're an embarrassment and they reflect poorly on Western Australians all. They've been in the comp for 30 years for one grand final appearance and no premierships. This is simply not good enough. And the persistent failures of our illegitimate backwards child, the late in life unplanned pregnancy, if you will, has become too much to bear. For this reason, I've been spearheading a campaign to have Frio relocated. The Launceston Dockers has a nice ring to it. Oh. So to sum up, we don't hate the Dockers. We pity them and we are disappointed by them and we hate that they continue to let Western Australia down. Thank you for listening. I feel a lot better.
Okay.
That's one perspective. That's a more kind of like that's silver spoon perspective.
But, I mean, that's it. That's interesting, the idea of like that Western Australia should have one less team.
Yeah.
That it should just go back to being a one-team state. And there is actually part of me that likes that. Like, I like the idea of like, you know what, maybe Western Australia should only just have one team. Maybe it is weird that they have two teams. Maybe it should like everyone, it just feels like one of those states where everyone should almost like have to dictator style Barrick for the same team?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. This is from Julian, who's responding to Scotty's email as well. He says, over the years, I've felt pangs of secondhand awkwardness as you fellows have had to rift through some truly awkward emails. You've battled on manfully against some frighteningly embarrassing attempts at humour, a worrying over-familiarity, and the ever-present danger of a misled listener confusing rudeness for wit. But struth, the cultural cringe generated by my Western Australian brethren last episode, God bless them, compelled me to set the record straight. So here's the rub. Number one, we don't hate Victorians. We quite like them. We like visiting Melbourne. You're all fine.
Okay. Thanks. Damned us with faint praise.
We hate the Victorian football industrial complex, the inequities of the competition.
That's right. Don't hate the players, hate the game.
The Victorian football media and the I can't get no respect of it all.
Yeah.
Number two, older Sandgropers are more likely to be Western Australia first, especially the Eagles supporters. Frio, not so much, but we do love our inclusive Western Australians. Yes. Number three, it's very much like how Melbourne and Sydney view each other. Outside of when Frio got a little bit uppity and a bit shirty in the 2000s, it's mostly pantomime for the Eagles supporters. But Frio? Not so much. And can you blame them? Look how insufferable we are. And four, by the most hated clubs, where my feathered friend got that list from is For the Gods. The only Western Australians hate is Collingwood. We don't know why. We were taught by Victorians who don't know why, and we're really just pretending. The rest is all club-based or residual from old VFL loyalties. For the Eagles, Frio, of course, Essendon back in the day, Danny Southern and Libba's senior dogs, which you brought up, which makes sense. Sydney and Geelong, but not so much uniform loathing. Fremantle fans would loathe the Eagles and currently seem to hate Carlton for a rivalry and St Kilda because of Ross the Boss, Siren Gate or something, which is true. There's always been a bit of tension between the Saints. I also think it's because we're quite similar in our like Charlie Brown status. Like, you know what I mean? You sort of hate someone who reflects back your worst character traits. And I think that's why Fremantle hates St Kilda.
Yeah.
Old mate was a little bit right on Port Adelaide with some Eagles supporters. Maybe it's the Josh Carr of it or the David Koch factor or the fact that they love carrying on like they were established in the Cretaceous period. Really, Port, be serious. You're playing with the big boys now. I've always loved your wacky road to expeditions to Western Australia. Keep it up. Okay, so this is a Port fan who wanted to respond to why he thinks there might be some kind of tension. This is from Sam. I was listening to the Western Australian themed episode on my way to work this morning, and as a South Australian and Port Adelaide supporter who lives in WA, I had to write in. I can confidently confirm that the list of most hated clubs in WA was 100% a Scotty list, and I have no idea what South Australia has done to him. If I'm meeting someone new in Perth and they ask who I barrack for and I respond Port Adelaide, I have never once experienced hatred, discrimination, or anything that might indicate they give a shit at all. The response I would get is similar to what Victorians would do if I told someone I barrack for a club located west of the Grampians. It's a blank look, indicating they can barely remember the club's colours and no further questions. The only truth in Scotty's list, I think, of course, is Collingwood, who should be number one, and a soft spot for clubs like the Kangaroos, the Dogs and the Saints. Like most of us, we just love an underdog until the underdog starts winning too much. Richmond dropped off the list a few years back. So that makes sense. But Dan has got some insight. He's a Western Australian. G'day, boys. Right. I usually listen to your other podcast, TOEFOP, which is available in the Aaron Relax feed. I was born the year the Eagles were established. My dad played Waffles, so he knew a lot of the early players and I became a lifelong fan. When Frio joined the league, there was definitely a powerful hatred from Eagles supporters. But once they made it 10 years, then 20, now nearly 30, without anything really to show for it, I'm not sure we really consider them at all. I know it seems rich to point out their mediocrity given West Coast recent issues, but at least every time the Eagles have historically been good, we've capitalised, which I think is we can't argue with that.
No, that's true.
I agree with old mate that I'd rather Fremantle win against Victorian teams, but ideally they draw so no one goes home happy. As for hatred of other teams, I think beating them in 2018 means we don't hate Collingwood quite as much anymore.
Okay, interesting.
I also think Collingwood this Collingwood team is inherently more likable than teams of bygone years.
Also true.
Yes. Essendon were up there for a while, But now they're so irrelevant, it's hard to hate them. I think that has to do with the Sheedy with the jacket.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it, but I think Port Adelaide may have truly become public enemy number one. Maybe it stems back to Tom Jonas's poleaxing of Andrew Gaff, or beating them twice with kicks after the siren, or Willie Rioli choosing to go there after the club stood by him after he did the dumbest thing in his career. Whatever it is, fuck Port Adelaide.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. All those things. I mean, it's weird how rivalries.
All of those things are compelling in a way, right? Like, you're like, oh, yeah, that all makes sense. They're good enough reasons to go, why do you have a problem with them? And you're like, oh, here's my four reasons. And you're like, okay, yeah, good. That motivates your character. I understand the backstory here.
This is from Sass. He says, guys, first time, long time. Perth boy, been living in Washington, D.C. the past dozen years. In addition to yours being one of the only podcasts to consistently make me laugh out loud wherever I am, you've got me through some trying times during the Trump administration, COVID with no response plan and the occasional insurrection. So thank you very much. Hey, never stop. Plus being an Eagles supporter over the past couple of years, though we've had plenty of good times as well, to your question of Eagles versus Dockers, firstly, old mate Eagles supporter who replied last time obviously doesn't represent all of us. Okay, so they're pretty keen to say Scott. Not all Eagles supporters, not all
Eagles. They've really distanced themselves from Scotty, haven't they?
He doesn't represent all of us. Like, why are the uncalled drive-bys on the Bulldogs and the Saints? I'm so sorry. Unfortunately, with such a large supporter base, I and many of us know all too well what a cross-section of our fans represent and can't be helped sometime. The analogy of West Coast being Texas and Fremantle being Austin is pretty accurate, i.e., would rather be in Austin. That's interesting. So, and that also makes sense too with the Nate Fife of it all, right? Like the, you know.
Of course.
When Freo first came to the scene, I was really excited and I cheered them on. But sadly, like any age-old conflict, no one can really remember who struck first and have been subjected to serious grief from Freo fans over the years, bullying and straight-up workplace harassment at times. Sure, I and West Coast fans have dished it up the other way. No one is blameless in this. Writing to you post the most recent Derby win, Harley Mania, baby, the rebuild is on. Where a small part of me feels a little sad for friends who are Freo fans. It may well be that we will win our fifth flag before they win their first. But given said harassment and the bad blood and frankly unwarranted taunting over the past few years, I have to quote Megan McCain in response to batshit Carrie Lake, a MAGA senator candidate who attacked her and her dad, John McCain, not to make it a deep political tangent here. So after she tried to offer a fake and insincere olive branch, her response was, "No peace, bitch." Which is so great. I think what we need, Will, is to hear from Freo, some Freo fans now. Yes. Like, we've definitely got the Eagles' perspective, got some insight into why Port may be a hated team. But Freo fans, let us know, like, how do you feel about West Coast? Is there really no peace, bitch? Like, do you want some kind of, like, armistice? Some kind of, like, we lay down our arms and we take on the rest of the country? Or is it just,
are you
like,
looking for a single-team solution? Or is it...
A little bit of mail just before we go. If you want to get in touch with us, you can too, guys. One Cup on Instagram and Twitter, or you can send us a message by going to everyonerelax.co. There's a contact form there. I've just opened the wrong account. Here we go. This is from Stingen 8182. Can the Swans win the flag? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, no, don't ask me any follow-up questions, but yeah, I reckon probably.
What did we think about the Draper flop? I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. And I love that he had the balls to reenact it, like, within minutes of the final siren going for his teammates on the ground.
Within minutes. That's my favorite bit. Like, just like,
didn't even wait till he got into the change rooms. It was like, I'm going to act out.
Didn't hide it from anybody. He just went, look what I did. And also, his name's Draper. He drapes on things. It's nominative determinism.
How come no one who listens to our show has a, like, a normal handle? It's all Macleaser. M-A-Cleaser. I don't know. Surely West Coast instill the Harley Reid rule where they just recruit players with Western Australian hair. Oh, my God.
Oh.
I didn't even think of that.
I mean, that's such a great insight in that – they really did pick a guy like
who looks like he could be
everyone talks about the fact that there's the go-home factor, but he has found a place. In the same way as I was talking to you, Charlie, on our other podcast about the fact that I've been in Melbourne and suddenly walking the streets of Melbourne, realizing that everyone in Melbourne looks like me and dresses like me and is into the same things as me. And I'm like, actually, it's weird that like these are, I'm amongst my people. And I think Harley Reid would have felt exactly the same way when he got off that plane in Western Australia and he would have been like, oh, I'm home, baby.
I mean, by the same rule, like if Jason Horne-Francis, when he's trying to get out of North Melbourne, like if he couldn't get to Port, he could have just gone to one of the two WA teams and he probably would have been right at home with the with his long blonde locks.
Oh, I feel like that feels like Port Adelaide here to me. There's a certain
there's a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
Which you'll get punched in the face for saying in Port Adelaide.
What do you call me, mate?
Richard Zunham says, big footy browsing has neutral Victorians calling Frio the St Kilda of the West. Is there a bigger insult? Fucking hell. Oh, my God. Frio fans, write in. Maybe you and I need to have just like a talk session. Like, we've got to get some therapy. Ben Phillips says, do you think it's more of an interesting stat how many times Harley Reid has not been in the paper?
Mm.
Yeah, this gag has already run its course. When you see it in Damien Barrett's Sliding Doors when they're making jokes about Harley Reid being in the back of the Western Australian, it's the joke is officially done.
What other parts of the Western Australian could Harley Reid get in? That's more
lifestyle,
what we need
to be doing. Lifestyle pullout.
Yeah, definitely all that sort of stuff. But I would like, I'm actually thinking maybe like, do we get Harley Reid to do the crossword?
Oh, yeah.
Or like Harley Reid's Reads, where he recommends books like and stuff, like Harley's Reads. And it's like a column of things that Harley's been reading.
Harley's Horoscopes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leo's, make sure you get to the pill first.
a whole bunch of football-related horoscopes from Harley Reid. Yeah.
Finally, FD82, describe Collingwood's comeback. Dwayne said we'd put our big boy pants on. I don't know, like, because you'd established such a brand, to quote a David King term, for doing comebacks, I wasn't as blown away by it. Like, you know, it was impressive, but I've seen it all before.
It's like John Farnham announcing another tour. You're like, we've seen you do this before.
Yeah.
Like, we're glad you're back. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to have you back. You're the voice. We understand it. But you've done this before.
Right. That is Two Guys, One Cup for this week. If you want to support the show, the best way to do that is patreon.com/everyonerelax.co. Lots of great content in there. Or if you just want to check out some of the other shows we do, go to everyonerelax.co. All the podcasts are in there. Will, you finished Melbourne Comedy Festival. What's next for you?
I have Sydney, Brisbane, Perth, a whole bunch of other places. Speaking of our Perth listeners, there's very few tickets left to my Perth show. So if you want to come and see Will Legitimate in Perth, I would recommend getting into those very quickly.
Well, maybe when you're over there, you can do a little like just straw poll
research
investigation. Just start like, ask people who they barrack for and, you know, what their attitudes are, and let's see if we can get some intel on the ground.
Yep. You know what? I'm willing to do that. I'm over there for the weekend. I'm doing three nights in Perth, so I'm willing to get to the, you know what? Even if there is a game on when I'm in town that I can go to, maybe I will actually go and see a game, be there, particularly if I can go to a Frio game.
Mm.
Like really soak up what's going on with Frio.
Yeah. I want to find out what that's all about. It's a shame the derby's not going to be on. But any intel. And Frio fans, hit us up. Let us know what's going on. It's going to be I've got a feeling Western Australia is going to be a dominant storyline throughout this entire year, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we'll get to Queensland next year. Play on, not 15.
Well.
If you think we'll be insightful, clever, or just well researched, we're here to say that's not the case. We'll just go out and wing it. We